gods, be champions, be truth seekers, be students, be teachers, be politicians, be preachers, be believers, be leaders, be astronauts, be champions.
Standing in the hall.
Great to have you guys here. Why don't you stand up? We're in a week 4 of the I Am journey. We're asking God, who are we? We're finding out more about who He is. We're going to sing these songs. Just tell Him we love Him and we want to know more.
Thank you.
these songs that we sing, these songs are all a response to something. You know, sometimes they're a response to experiencing something great. You know, you experience grace or generosity. You experience a blessing, and you turn and you go, God, thank you. Thank you for being so good to me. Or other times they're a response to a tragedy. You're like, oh God, I need you. Where were you? What was that about? I thought, and it causes us, these things are vehicles for us to respond to God. But they're not the only vehicle. You know, singing is one vehicle. But being a peddler of the thing that we've received, of the grace, causes us to be a grace giver. When we experience forgiveness, it causes us to then forgive other people. When we experience generosity, it makes us generous, you know? And when we experience the freedom of Jesus, it causes us to then want to go and be a part of freeing others. Thank you. God, I thank you that you are generous, you are kind, you are gracious, and that you're relentless in how you pursue us. I ask that you would see our steps into this room as us declaring a direction of wanting to move towards you, to know who you are, and as a result, find out who you created us to be. So God, I thank you. You are great, and it is a pleasure to declare that. Thanks, God. Amen. Guys, thanks so much for joining with us. So good. So good. Hey, two quick things. One, today's content has some mature elements, so if you have young people with you that you're not ready to have an awkward or potentially great conversation with on the ride home, maybe relocate. And number two, make this big place a little smaller. Say hi to somebody you don't know, and then have a quick seat, right?
Hey guys, welcome to Crossroads. I'm Jamie Sims, and I'm real excited to be here with you. And we're in the journey right now where we're figuring out who we are and what we were created to do. And a big part of that is being in a group. I got in a group that of people I didn't know. And it was kind of daunting at first, but what I'm experiencing in that is I'm getting to know people that I had never met prior to 3 weeks ago, and they're getting to know me, and that's super important to me. So we're halfway through the journey, and I just want to say, you guys are doing an awesome job. Now's the time to lean in a little closer, dig a little deeper, because what we have in store for you is going to be awesome. And it's deep, so I'm real excited, and I can't wait to hear about the stories of what you're going through. If you're not in a group, it's not too late. There's still opportunities to join. And also, while you're looking for a group, think about what you're going to do after the journey. You can go to crossroads.net/groups and check out all the opportunities that we have there for journey groups and groups that are going to go beyond. If you're near one of our sites, there's the opportunity for you to look at on-site groups that are really focused on specific topics. Now I want to tell you guys about some of the things that are going on around here. Next weekend, we are having baptisms. And I think that that's going to be a great opportunity for those of us who've said yes to following Jesus to make a public display of our decision to follow him. If you feel like this is something for you, we were going to be there along the way helping you do this. I remember last summer when I was on a Go NOLA trip, my best friend kind of leaned over to me when we got to the part of baptisms and said, "Hey, will you baptize me?" And for me, that was such a precious moment. I'd been there throughout her journey where she was just going back and forth with whether or not she was ready to dedicate her life to Jesus. And she was ready to take that step. So I got up there in all of my clothes and I baptized her, and I spent the rest of the day wet. But it was totally worth it for the change I've seen in her life. So if you're interested in getting baptized or you want more information, go to crossroads.net/baptisms. Another thing coming up is Undivided, which is a 6-week spiritual experience where we really dig into how we can grow and heal our city's racial divides. So if that's something that you're interested in and you want to facilitate it, we will get you training and we will help you through that process. I went through Undivided back in the fall, and my leaders had never gone through it, but they just had a heart for doing it, and it was so amazing. So go to crossroads.net/undivided for more information and to sign up to facilitate. Now's our chance in the service for us to be generous. It's an opportunity for us to come together as a team and sacrificially give to fund the things that are going on around here. And I do this because I think it's so important that we do things like Undivided and The Journey. If you want to be a part of the team, you can go to crossroads.net/give and give a one-time gift or set up a recurring e-gift. If you're new around here, don't worry about it. We're just glad you came. While we take the time to give, let's check out some more information about Undivided.
Back in February, Crossroads started a 6-week program called Undivided that faces the reality of racial tension. The pastor here says it's a program that could help now more than ever.
It really takes people getting in homes, having conversations around the dinner tables, getting into each other's lives, for people's hearts to really change.
Everybody had a point of view, a position, a mindset, but nobody was talking about how we make the things better. How do we fix this? There's no discussion.
Undivided takes people into mixed race groups and looks at racial divide in Cincinnati and the entire country.
I immediately said, I want to be a part of the solution.
It's true what you said. We all have unconscious biases that we bring into this conversation, and it's just good in the context of relationship to talk about it.
We had older people, younger people, white, black.
And they were opening up their hearts to, some of it was ignorance. They just didn't know what they didn't know.
That was the reason why God brought me to this thing. He wanted me to feel loved by all people.
I stand in bold hope that God is more powerful than the world is broken. This is what the church is for. This is the time, this is the moment where the church has to speak. Honestly, if we don't speak in situations that are as broken as what we see right now, when will we speak? When will we speak? I believe the gospel is good news.
That's worth applauding. Definitely is. Man, it is really good to be with you today as we're in the midst of our journey, as we're in small groups, as we're doing the app work, the Crossroads app, and as we're coming in here in the weekend and hoping something speaks to us as we try to speak before God. Before we do anything else, I just want to tell you today we are going to go in the deep end. Are we okay with that? We're going to go in the deep end. So let's pray before we get going. God, you're good to bring us here, allow us to come here, and God, you're good that I think you've already talked to some of us. You're maybe giving us some impressions and some feelings, and I pray you continue to do that for the rest of our time, no matter where we happen to be meeting as Crossroads, whether in Ohio, Kentucky, or wherever it is in our country. Help us to know you and know ourselves and to become who you want us to be, and help me to be clear to that purpose, I pray. In your name and according to your character identity, the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Well, so we're in this journey. We're trying to figure out who God has made us to be, what our possibilities are, what our aptitudes are. And to do that, we have to know who God is. We have to have God speaking into our life. And right wedged right between ourselves and God has been Moses. We've been looking at his life and the things we can learn from him. Brief recap. He's born as a Jew, and under Egyptian captivity, the Egyptian ruler Pharaoh says there's getting to be too many Jewish babies. They're going to overrun us. He tells all the midwives, you need to, when those babies come out, you need to abort those babies immediately, like done. And so midwives are struggling with this. They don't want to do this. And Moses, taken in this little basket by his mom, stuck out in the water, kind of goes down the river. They're going, maybe you have a better future out there. You definitely have no future right here. What do you know? Pharaoh's household, someone in his household, gets the baby in the basket coming down the river and gives him a full entitled education in the Egyptian ways. He's now in Pharaoh's household, so he has the finest of finest clothes, the finest of finest of education, all that stuff. And he lives as an Egyptian. This is what his identity was. It used to be as an Israelite, now it's as an Egyptian. As he gets older, he sees an Egyptian taskmaster beating a Hebrew. His inner Hebrew snaps, and he kills this Egyptian, and now he gets to be made out. He's afraid people are going to find out. So he then takes off. He leaves Egypt. He leaves his Egyptian ways. And he goes to the desert and becomes a shepherd. It's what we looked at last week. This burning bush moment where the miracle is not that a bush is burning and that God's talking to him. The miracle is, well, it's a miracle that God's talking to him. The miracle is this bush isn't going out. It's been there and he just hasn't noticed it. I know some of us are feeling that for the very first time. You've had some bushes burning in your life. There's been a bush burning, you just have never noticed it. And light bulbs are starting to go off. You're going, wait a minute, why am I always like that? Now, wait a minute, why do I always feel that way? It may be that God is getting your attention, God has been doing something, and you've never actually noticed it. What Moses does is he comes to a new place because of God. Today's big idea, I'm going to give you some points. The big idea today is this. If you want your true identity, you have to go to God. In fact, everything I'm telling you this week, everything I'm telling you is to set you up for your app work this week, which is critical, which is hopefully going to facilitate a unique meeting with you and God. When we want to know who we are, when we want to know our potential, we have to know it from God. And this is what Moses finds out. He finds out things about himself and finds out things about his abilities because of the presence of God in his life. Exodus 3:15. God said to Moses, "Say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you." You tell him, Moses, that God, the one who's been around forever and ever, that is who is empowering you. That is who is sending you. He is being sent. It's interesting that Moses, I imagine him in different clothes. Like sometimes he's in a Jewish garb, sometimes he's in Egyptian garb, sometimes he's in shepherd garb as he's walking out and doing some stuff in the wilderness area. And our clothes tell us a lot about ourselves and others, don't they? I mean, if you see somebody in Nike dry fit stuff or swooshes all over them, it tells you something. Okay, part of your identity is you work out. That's part of who you are. You see somebody in a tux, okay? Part of your identity is you are a father of the bride or you are in a wedding or something like that. You see somebody who's got rips on their jeans. You go, okay, part of your identity is you work in the yard or you're a worship leader at Crossroads. We know something about somebody and ourselves by our clothing. It's why we like clothing. We like clothing to the tune of $400 billion a year. So much we spend on clothing in America, $400 billion a year. Why is that? It's not because we're wearing out our clothes. Most of us can't remember the last thing we wore out. We just keep buying new clothes, and we get a charge from it. And this is not a, hey, don't buy new clothes sermon. It's not. It's just a, maybe one of the reasons why we buy new clothes is it's a way for us to express our identity. We're making choices about what we're buying because we're trying to project something about who we are. Maybe we're not that person, we're trying to project it. Maybe we are that person, we're trying to project it. And it just gives us a bit of a charge. Mark Jacobs says, to me, clothing is a form of self-expression. There are hints about who you are and what you wear. These are some things that I wear. I don't wear this all that often, but I do wear it. I wear it when I'm going to a wedding or a funeral, and I put it on. It's like, okay, I feel like I fit. I feel like I belong, like my identity belongs here. A couple weeks ago, I went to a really good event raising money for cancer, kids who have cancer and stuff. It was a really good event. I had to leave immediately on the Saturday service at Oakley, and so, you know, I'm dressed like this sort of, and I go in this place where everyone's dressed like this, and I just felt really awkward, like I didn't fit in because there's something about my clothing, our clothing, there's something spiritual that happens in our clothing. If you saw all the different jackets I would wear, you would know something about me, like this one right here. This is a jacket I wear when I'm working in the yard and it's cold, or when I'm in the garage and it's cold. Yeah, I did not clean it for you. This is exactly the way it is. Oh, man, you could just smell the grease on it. It's awesome. I don't know why women like are buying perfume. I would prefer you just put some 10W-40 on your neck. I would, oh, it's so good. Yeah, when you see this, you go, okay, that guy actually gets dirty with his hands. Yes, I do. It's actually a part of my identity. This one right here is another thing that I like to do. It's part of who I am. I am a camper. I like to camp. Okay. I put that on 4 times this weekend. That hasn't happened. So this is my campfire jacket. I wear this around the campfire. It's nice, light, packs down and down. And you could tell that I wear this around the campfire because you see all the tape that's holding, taping all the holes with my down coming through because the embers keep hitting my jacket. Like, I'm not going to buy a new jacket. I'm just going to put duct tape all over the thing and just kind of. So this would be the same with you. If you went and looked at your closet, and I think that's one of our things we're doing in our app this week, you look at your closet, you're going to know and find out something about you. God actually is involved in clothing. He actually made a set of clothes once. The whole story was Adam and Eve were feeling close and intimate in their identity with God, and they rebel. They do their own thing, and immediately there's a lack of connection with God, and the Bible says they put fig leaves to cover up their nakedness, because now they're ashamed when they see one another. It is true that when we are naked, we feel a level of shame, don't we? I mean, most of us don't like to look at ourselves naked in the mirror. We will avoid because there's something we just don't like about ourselves. We go to a pool. We don't go to beach. We say, I don't like the beach. Really, what we don't like is we don't like being out and having people see us exposed because we don't maybe like our body or we don't like something that's happening. Or we go to a pool and we make sure we drape things over ourselves. And a lot of this isn't just modesty. A lot of this is a level of insecurity about our bodies because our clothing is a thing of comfort for us. One of the worst things that ever happened to me was on a go trip a number of years ago. I went to go South Africa trip. Thousands of us have been to South Africa or New Orleans or India or Nicaragua, Bolivia, these different places. And we grow. We get outside of our comfort zone and we see God. God expands for us. Because when you get outside of your cultural context, it's like, oh my gosh, God is big over here in ways I couldn't experience in my old place of comfort. And so on the last day, we had a day where we went and kind of enjoyed the country, and we had a good time there, and I went to bed. And when I wake up in the middle of the night, which happens every once in a while, I don't know if you're like me, when you wake up, are you like me where if you wake up and you got to go to the bathroom or something like that, do you keep your eyes as closed as possible as you get up? It's like, I have the energy to open them up, but I don't want to because if I do, more light might get in there and then I would have a harder time going to sleep. Am I the only one who's like that? You know, so I get up like, okay, I got to go to the bathroom. So I get up and I'm like, okay, I go to the bathroom. I get in. As it happened, I shut the door and I got to open them up to see where I'm going to aim. And like, I realize, oh, I didn't choose the bathroom door. I actually went outside the room. By the way, I sleep the way God made me. The way, with the clothes God made me and created me, that's how I sleep. So I get, I'm like, oh my gosh. I turn around and the door is locked. I can't get back. And the level of shame, I'm looking around, I'm going, what do I do? It's like 3 o'clock in the morning. I have no idea what I'm supposed to do here. So I can't knock on the door because no one else is in my room. What am I going to do? Just go up and down the whole hotel and knock on, find somebody across the road. Hey, would you go, get my... I'm like, how do I do it? So I got to go down to the front desk. So I'm going down there's a pole in the middle of the hallway. Great. I'm like hiding behind the pole, you know. Going around corners, and I get down to where the desk is, the corner, and I said, excuse me. My person can't see me. They're looking. I'm just barely around. I'm like, excuse me. I locked myself out of the room. I have another key. What's your name? I don't have any ID with me. I can't even tell you. They give me the key. I'm like, thank you. What do I do with this key? I don't know. Stick it right there, and I kind of... Very embarrassing, very, very uncomfortable. This is what it was with Adam and Eve, very uncomfortable. And God, he is the first person to shed blood in the Bible. He actually goes and he kills animals and strips them of their skins and makes Adam and Eve clothing. This is fascinating. This shows that you are more important than a dog, you're more important than a cat, you're more important than a horse. Because God would take the skin off one of those to give it to you in the midst of your difficulty. This is it also shows that God is more innovative and more understanding than Adam and Eve. They've never crossed their mind. Fig leaves aren't going to do that good of a job. But clothes do. It's a thing of our identity. It's a way that God actually meets us. And this is all throughout the Bible, throughout the whole Bible. We have stories like the prodigal son, where a rebellious kid looks at his dad and says, I wish you were dead. Give me my inheritance right now. He goes out and he blows the inheritance. He comes crawling back in order to just find a day job with his dad. His dad sees him, runs out, takes off his robe, it says, and wraps his robe around him. His robe represents his identity. It says, you are still part of the family. I still love you. Wraps his robe around him. We have clothing like in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 where there's a spiritual war that's happening in our society. I said we're going to go to the deep end today. There's a spiritual war that's happening. When you come into relationship with God through Jesus, you better be ready for the attacks that you will encounter. And God gives a breastplate, a belt, a helmet. These are articles of clothing that relate to our identity. Jesus tells a great, great story about going to heaven. And he likens it to a wedding banquet. And he says, you know, I wouldn't want to go to a wedding with this. Wouldn't at all, man. If I'm going to a wedding, I better be prepared. And Jesus talks about wedding garments and having your right garment and going to the banquet. In other words, you have to have the right identity to get to heaven. Not everyone gets to heaven. You have to have the right identity, Jesus' identity himself, as I'll get into in a moment. So three big ideas. One is this: identity brings power. When we know who we are, and specifically when we have God's identity, when you have the identity of God, when you heard from God, there is a power in your life. There is an opening of possibilities that you didn't have before. In the book of Exodus chapter 6, Moses' story continues this way. God says, "Say to the people of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from slavery to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. I will bring you into the land. I am the Lord. I am the Lord." Remember, as we talked about last week, Moses' ability to follow through on the purpose for his life is based on the power of God. And God's name is I Am. I am the Lord. I am, meaning, God says, I'm the one who has always been. I am. You can't describe my beginning. You can't even describe me. I just am. Everything else you and I've ever encountered has always had a beginning. Someone created it. God says, not me. I am sovereignly independent of all creation. I am just what I am. This name of God is sometimes translated or put as Yahweh. Sometimes it's put as Jehovah. Sometimes it's put as Yahweh. It's a different concoction of Hebrew letters that comes together for this. And this name is used by Jesus because Jesus is God. If you want to have the power of God, you have to have Jesus. Now, I know that this is a jump for some of us because a lot of us, and this is what I love about Crossroads, we've created Crossroads to be this place where whatever your spiritual beliefs, whatever your spiritual orientation, whatever your convictions are, there's a place for you here and we're so excited you're here. Yes, awesome. You just have to understand that one of the things that Jesus says about himself is that he is different from anybody else. Our culture tries to tell us that, well, Jesus maybe died because he got caught in between the movement of the zealots and the zealots got rid of him, or there was some other stuff that was happening with the Roman government or this or that. That misses the point entirely. Jesus was killed early in his life because the religious people are upset because he said he was God. When he's known as the Son of God, in Jewish thought, this means you are the same. It's like the Father wrapping the cloak around the Son when he returned. He was killed because he said, I am God. Let me show you how he does this in the book of John chapter 8, 57 and following. So the Jews said to Jesus, hey, you're not 50 years old yet. And have you seen Abraham, the father, in the beginning of the Jewish religion? Jesus said to them, well, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. So they picked up stones to throw at him. He says, well, yeah, I wasn't physically here on the planet before Abraham was, but I have always been. Yes, I've been before Abraham because I am. That's my name. What's your name? I am. I am God himself who's come in the flesh. And people picked up stones to throw him because they knew exactly this is what Jesus was saying about himself. Now, when you understand this, it's like when I hear people just go like, Jesus never claimed to be God, I'm going, gosh, you ought to read the Bible once and have a sense of what's happening instead of just parroting spiritual phrases that happen in our culture. When you understand this, Jesus then says, your power is linked to knowing me. Power for things like, in the book of John chapter 6, I am the bread, I am. This is very intentional. He's going to do this over and over and over again. And all the Jews understood exactly what he was saying. He said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. He says, man, if you feel like there's something down in your soul that's just empty, that you're yearning for something, that you're not satisfied, that you feel a craving, that's me. I am. I am the one that will give you breath, that will lead you to everlasting life, and will nourish you every day right now. John 8, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I am the power source of light. If you feel like you're confused, if you feel like you don't know which way to go, if you feel like everything is dark, And maybe because you need me, because when you have me, I am light. I will illuminate things that you won't know in and of your own natural mental intellect. John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. He's not the good CEO who's maximizing shareholder value. He's the good shepherd. He said, I am God who will take care of you. I will lay down my life for you. How do you know what you're worth? What's your worth? If your identity is a good American, your worth is, I don't know how you would define it. But if your worth is as a son or daughter of God and you possess Jesus, your worth is God, because God paid Jesus for you. Jesus went to a cross and died, gave up his life for you. That's your worth. I don't care what the bank says your house is worth. Your house is worth whatever somebody would pay for your house. Your car is worth whatever someone would pay for it. And God paid Jesus for you. The good shepherd laid down his life for you. Oh, my word. Man, if you got that, you would never have a self-esteem or self-image problem ever. Because you would have that identity, and it would, man, it revolutionize stuff. John 11, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Jesus says, man, if you need a second chance, if you need a resurrection, if you need to come back from something that's hurt you, if you need the hope to endure forever, I mean, that's who I am. I bestow that power. That's my identity. John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is incredibly exclusive. Yeah, it's exclusionary. I think that's a word. Exclusive is why Americans, we don't like this. We just have to understand that Jesus is painting a picture of eternity and heaven that isn't in any other spiritual literature. We take as American pop spirituality this view of heaven and just kind of lay it on to whatever our mishmash of religious spiritual beliefs are. But we have to understand that when Jesus talks about heaven, when the Bible talks about heaven, it's a very definitive place where the very definitive God is, and Jesus is that God. So if we wanted to get to a heaven versus some other thing of getting to a nirvana or doing a better job this life, not somebody shepherding me, but me just doing a better job this life and then being reincarnated in a higher life form and keep going where it's all about us, no one's shepherding us, no one's loving us, that's a whole separate system versus, do I want to be with God forever? Do I want to have joy with God forever? And if I want that, well, then why wouldn't I want God right now? And the best way that he's helped me understand who he is come in the flesh, Jesus. And Jesus says, man, if you want God, if you want that kind of life, I'm it. I'm that way. I am, John 15, 1, I am the true vine. And my Father is the vine dresser. So my Father and I, we are grafted together. And you get to be grafted into me. Your identity gets to be grafted into me. And you start to bring fruit, luscious fruit out of your life. And God takes a notice in your life. Because the vine dresser kind of prunes and shapes and waters. And that's who I am, man. These are hugely, hugely powerful statements. That if you make these your own and you come to a place where you receive Jesus, there is a clarity to your identity. When you have God, when you have that identity, there's a clarity of what you want to think, a clarity of what you want to go, a clarity of how you respond to bad stuff that happens to you, a clarity and a power in getting up when someone's beating you down, a clarity and a power over dealing with confusion situations. This is why people's stories who have the identity of Jesus are always so inspiring, including Michelle's.
Identity. I would say that my struggle with identity started long before I was even born. When I was born, my father rejected me. He denied that I was his daughter. And so I felt out of place. I felt like I didn't belong. And at the age of 8, I was molested. And that opened up the door to sexual pleasures that a child should never know. And 2 years later, I was raped at the age of 10. And I felt like my dad was supposed to protect me, that he was supposed to be there, and he wasn't. That started the journey of developing unhealthy relationships with men, because it's all I knew. By my early 20s, I had had sex with over 30 men. And these men were the image of a father for me. Because in return for sex, they would provide things that a girl, of course, always wants a father to provide. And because you don't get it from a regular source, a loving source, you take the counterfeit and you get used to it. It wasn't until I started growing in my relationship with God that I started to see that there possibly could be something more. There could be something more. But I didn't understand it, and so I started to search the scriptures to see what God had to say. There's a scripture that I started to attach to where Jesus says, pray to God as Father. And that felt really awkward, to pray to God as Father, considering that in those sexual relationships and patterns that I had with those men, I was calling them Daddy. So to call God Dad felt disgusting. It felt unreal. And I remember one night being on the floor, crying out to God and asking him, like, why did this have to happen to me? Why did I have to have all of these experiences with all of these different men? And you say that you are Father, but where were you? Because you never protected me. And I just remember God whispering to me and telling me that he loved me, that he loved me, and that it hurt him to watch all of this pain that I experienced. And this wasn't who I was. This what I've done in my life, it isn't who I am. And he had the power to change that. And it was hard because I felt stupid. I felt stupid. I felt used. But it was empowering at the same time, because I was getting a fresh start. So today, I love who I am, and I love who God has created and redeveloped me to be. That's led me to wholeness. It's led me to purity, and being in community is huge. It's major, because I still struggle. I still struggle, and I know that I have a long way to go, but that's allowed me to live a life of celibacy where I'm waiting because I know my worth. I'm waiting because I know I'm worth loving. I'm worth waiting for. I'm worth it. I am God's daughter.
Seeing her clarity brings potency. That's different than in our culture. We say, hey, you got to be true to yourself. You got to be true to yourself. No, you don't. No, you don't. If Michelle was true to herself, at least her pre-Jesus self, her life would look entirely different. But now she's true to herself as God has cloaked her with a new identity. And it's helping her think things entirely different and do things she could have never done before. Say no to things she could have never said no to before. One of the questions I get pretty frequently is, I just got it the other day in the chiropractor's office, was, did you ever imagine Crossroads being what it is today when it started 21 years? Crossroads is drinking age this month. Did you ever imagine that? I was like, no. My answer is always the same, and it's always immediate. No, never. You know, we didn't have any numerical goal or any like grand vision of what things would look like. All it was we wanted to present Jesus to our friends, our normal friends, in a way that they would understand. That was it, period. if you put a gun to my head and you said, okay, well, tell me, give me a number. Tell me, like, give me some more stuff. I said, okay, if a guy give me a number, before I retire, if I could be a part of a church that was 2,000, that'd be amazing. Amazing. What happened there? The power and the clarity of God came and blew things out through the things that you and I are doing, our identity, that we would never experience any other way. One of the regular prayers of my life in the morning is, God, if you got anything big going on today, I want to be a part of it. If you got anything going on, I'm open. I want to be a part of it. And saying that prayer and trying to step into your identity for 21 years, along with a bunch of people, has brought multiple sites and two states, actually people all over the country gathering at Crossroads Anywhere right now. Would have never imagined putting millions and millions of dollars in the poverty crisis in the city of Cincinnati through CityLink and other things. Would have never, ever, ever, ever imagined that thousands of people will be going to places like South Africa and India and New Orleans and Nicaragua and all these places to serve. I would never, ever, ever imagine that thousands of kids would be alive and educated today because of the church that God was birthing. Would have never, ever, ever, ever imagined that an AIDS hospice would have been built in South Africa. Would have never, ever, ever imagined there would be things like ocean or unpolished or never, ever, ever, ever. And all of that is only because of God. All of that is only because of people stepping into their identity and having the clarity of that happens when God clothes you and he cloaks you with who he is. We all need to hear from God. We all need our Heavenly Father to tell us who we are. This goes so against the grain in our culture today because parents are told, don't tell your kids who they are. Let them discover for themselves. That's a stupid idea. Your kid is not qualified to discover anything for themselves except heartache and knives and drawers and poison. Your kids are not equipped to discover things for themselves that are healthy. You as a parent, as a mom or a dad, are equipped to tell your kids who they are. And the parents that get ahead of the curve and tell their kids who they are setting their kids up for a much greater life. And this mimics who God is in telling us who we are. In our app this last week, we saw, I thought, a pretty inspirational video. I think it's worth seeing again.
Look at yourself. Look in your eyes. You got to see it, okay? You got to feel it. You ready? You ready for school?
Yeah.
Is it going to be a good day?
Mm-hmm.
A really good day? You going to be positive? Say, I am strong.
I am strong.
Say, I am smart.
I am smart.
Say, I work hard.
I work hard.
I am beautiful.
I am beautiful.
I am respectful.
I am respectful.
Yeah. Say, I'm not better than anyone.
I'm not better than anyone.
Nobody's better than me.
No one's better than me.
I am amazing.
I am amazing.
I am great.
I am great.
What's your name?
Aaliyah Austin.
If you fall,
I get back up.
What are you?
I'm blessed.
Yes. Say thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
For making me. The greatest.
The greatest.
There's nobody.
Better.
Than me.
All
right, give me five. Give me a kiss. Yes, sir.
It's pretty cool. A little bit narcissistic there at the end, but nonetheless, pretty darn cool. And that's what God is wanting to do to us if we would slow down. If we would slow down and perhaps hear his voice. One of the ways he speaks is through the Bible. Psalm 139, as we saw on our app last week, is a great psalm that talks about how God has woven you together in your mom's womb. God thought about you before you were born. God has noticing things about you that you can't even notice. And we did this exercise. It's worth doing again right now. When we look in the mirror, we just have these words that we see in Psalm 139. Words like, I am known. You know, we look at ourselves in the mirror. It's uncomfortable. Guys, I look myself in the mirror. It is always uncomfortable for me to stare at myself. I would rather not look at myself. When I look at myself for a bit longer, I notice a freckle or something I didn't know that I had. It's crazy for me to think that you know me in ways I will never know me. I am known. I am in need is another one. I am in need, God. to stare at myself and I recognize that I am a frail creature who gets hungry if I'm not eating three meals a day. I'm in need of your bread. I'm in need of answers to problems that I don't have the answers for at Crossroads right now. Answers for things that are in relational complexity mode that I am in need. I have major needs. I'm just silent because I want you to impress something on me. We don't spend much time in silence and stillness before God. And so, therefore, we're never having the opportunity to hear from God. God is not able to be heard when we're driving 80 miles an hour. He's not. God's not able to be heard when we've got a to-do list that's this long and all we want to do is finish that thing up. There's too much clutter. And so this week, we're giving you the opportunity to slow down and have an experience where God may meet you. Identity, when you have God, you have an identity that brings transformation, where things change. Moses had no idea who he could be until he heard from God, and God transformed him. He changed him. The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." God doesn't want to just give you new clothes. He doesn't want to just give you a new uniform. He doesn't want to give you an external makeover. He wants to give you an internal transformation. He wants you to have different passions, the passions that he's put in you, and you and I can't notice it because we're so bullheaded and doing the specific thing we're doing. He wants you and I to sense his approval. His approval, because you are a child and he approves and he loves you. He wants us to have that transforming all of our choices and all of our goals. Not just doing makeup and a new wardrobe overhaul. And our culture is ill-equipped to wrestle with this. We don't understand transformation. We do diets. We don't do transformation. And diets never work. Every study of diets shows very, very clearly diets never, ever, ever. They'll work for like 30 days if you do it really well for 30 days, but then 30 days later, you have all the way back. It just doesn't work. What happens? You have to have a transformed mind, a transformed attitude that says, okay, I am never going to eat chocolate cake again. Where you have small, permanent decisions that you make. Things, okay, I'm just going to be the kind of person, I'm just going to walk a mile a day. Whatever it is. You just, I don't know what the things are, but unless you make transformational, permanent changes, you will never have any different physical persona. It just doesn't last. Same way with, in terms of motivation, we go, okay, I need to find the latest self-help thing that's going to fire me up or pay for this over here, or go to this counselor, and that's fine. Pay for stuff to motivate you, go to a self-help thing, go to a counselor. I've been to counselor before, I'll be to them again. Not against any of those things. We just have to understand that those things don't offer transformation, right? Those things give us a little buzz, but when you get the identity of God, when God puts something in you that you don't have, and you start becoming who you couldn't have become outside of hearing his voice. I'm telling you, this is real. It changes. Something changes in you. Something actually changes in the world. I can't guarantee you, as you do this exercise, and if you do it diligently and shut things down and put your smartphone in airplane mode and do all that kind of stuff, I can't guarantee you that you'll hear from God. I know that for very few of us, we're not going to be able to pay attention. We haven't cultivated this. We're not going to. We're still going to multitask, and it will not work. I'm telling you, it won't work. If you're able to unplug and do this exercise, I can't guarantee you will hear from God. When I say hear from God, I'm not talking about audible voice. I've never heard an audible voice from God. Sometimes we hear from God when there's a thought that crosses our mind, and we realize, oh my gosh, that's a thought that I would not have generated and Jesus would approve of. Or, oh, I just had a feeling. I just had a thing of emotion here. I'm generally not an emotional person. And like, I'm feeling where I'm very emotional, but I have a steeliness about how I'm feeling about a thing. Maybe God is kind of doing something. There's all different kind of ways God can put impressions and speak to you. But he's not a genie in the lamp where you can just go, oh, okay, if I just do this, I rub it, and poof, there's God. Can't guarantee it'll happen, but I can guarantee you that you won't hear from God if you just do the same thing you do every single week. This last week, I was over in Israel. I know, sucks to be me. I was over in Israel, and I went to a site that I've never been to before. I went to the place where Jesus connected with his disciples after he had literally and historically risen from the dead. It's called the Emmaus, the road to Emmaus. It goes between two places. This is it. It's not this exact path. It could be 50 yards to the right. It could be 30 yards to the left, but this is definitely the area where this took place. It's kind of crazy. So I'm with a bunch of people, and they're kind of ahead of me, and they're starting to go back the bus, and I go over to the I go over behind the trees there to do a little business, and I get done with my business. I'm going, maybe Jesus did right here. You know, he was human. You know, this kind of awesome, kind of cool moment right there. So I'm doing my business there, and I go, okay, that's fine. Let's get back to the bus. So I go back, and as I'm walking back, I hit one of those prayers. That God, if you got anything for me today, if there's anything for me, I'm open for it. I take like two steps on that path, and it's like I walk into like warm jelly. It was one of the most profound experiences with God I've ever had. Go back and get the other people and say, hey, we need to like all hang out here for a while. It says like hang out here for a while, have some moments of silence. And I sat down. Man, it was like God was moving my hands. I was taking notes on my smartphone, giving me a specific exact word that I needed. It was a profound moment for me. Now, I haven't had a lot of those moments, but you can have those moments anywhere. I've had those moments in Alt Park. I've had those moments on my back deck. I've had those moments in the car, not when it's driving, but like locked down, just sitting in the parking lot trying to get ready for something. You can have a moment. You can. You have to take on a different identity, though. You've got to try something different. Moses had to try something different. He had to try something different in order to know who he was, and he had to follow the proddings of God. One of the things that you will not be able to do is you will not be able to hear from God to the degree that you could unless you make your peace with God. That means making your peace with Jesus. Jesus says he is the way, he is the truth, he is your bread, he is your light. We need that light. And some of us, maybe you need to receive him right now. Maybe you need to receive his clothing to wrap around you right now. I know you've got questions and doubts still about, like, okay, what does this mean about evolution? Dinosaurs, what does this mean about sexuality? What does this mean about my finances? What does this mean about, like, I don't believe everything in the Bible yet. Well, I know all that stuff is important. You'll get that in time, but right now, the most important thing is, do you want Jesus' identity in your life? Do you want God to wrap you around with his light, wrap you and fill you with his bread, to have a personal, close-up relationship with him where he tells you who you are and you begin the transformation process? And the way that happens is him dummy-proofing his identity by coming physically and saying, I am Jesus. I am your Savior. I am your shepherd. If you've never received him before and you want to go the next step in your journey, you can receive him right now. I'll say a prayer and you can just repeat this prayer after me. And God will understand your heart and new journey, new identity will start. It goes something like this. God, I thank you for bringing me here today. Jesus, I want you in my life. I am sorry for the things that I've done. I ask your forgiveness. I know that I need your power. I need your clarity. I need your love. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit. And I pledge to follow you the rest of my life. Amen. It's powerful stuff right there. That's really powerful. Now, next step on that is do your work this weekend. Continue on our journey. We're going to be able to kind of continue to build on that. Boy, it's a beautiful thing. Robbie?
So I want us to finish by singing this song together for two reasons. One, so that this melody and these words get stuck in your head. And second, so that this week as you're doing your work in the app, that it becomes a tool that you use. So why don't you guys stand up? We'll sing this together, all right? Sing, great are you, Lord.
Great
right, guys. Have a great week. See y'all next weekend. Make it a good one.